Yes, it's a very, very brutal punch to the gut, but, you know, in a dumpster. Like, how are you going to find anything there? It's like trying to find, like, a needle in an ocean.
Take responsibility for your keys. That's what people had to do on a gold standard long, long time ago before they started printing paper.
It's like that meme of the video game controller with one button on it with a little X on the corner. Governments just have, like, if they don't like something, it's bam, 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 bam.
We are walking into a dystopian nightmare, and no one is coming to save you. So if you don't have the measures in place to protect yourself and your family, especially if you have kids, you're just setting yourself up for suicide.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Tony and Mr. Ben Werman here. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Up first, very sad. So James Howells, the man who accidentally threw away a hard drive with 8,000 Bitcoin in 2013, now worth almost $1 billion, has finally ended his search. The hard drive will be worth $8 billion by 2030 is the comment here. So obviously very sad. I think this is one of those situations where many people, and I don't know much about James's story except for seeing these sorts of headlines along his journey, but people don't understand at times what they have. And so they might be flippant in how they choose to protect it or throw away an old computer, forgetting that that's where they had their Bitcoin saved. Obviously, there are much, much, much better ways to do this. Tony, I'll let you take this one first. What would your comment be on this story?
Very painful to watch, but I don't think he's the only guy. There was another story like a little while back about someone who or his maid or his girlfriend, I think, threw out his hard drive. And, you know, he spent millions of dollars trying to recover it from a dumpster bin. And also I think he found it, but he found out that he wasn't actually holding Bitcoin. He was holding Bitcoin cash. So instead of, you know, being happy that he found his drive in making up all the money, now he's in debt for, you know, the millions of dollars that he spent looking for it. So I hope this guy, you know, actually had Bitcoin, because, you know, if one day he changes his mind and goes back after that to hopefully find it, at least, you know, there's a treasure waiting for him. Otherwise, I mean, at some point, you know, when the odds are that, you know, highly stacked against you, I mean, you can't drive yourself crazy. It is what it is. Yes, it's a very, very brutal punch to the gut, but, you know, in a dumpster, like, how are you going to find anything there? It's like trying to find like a needle in an ocean. You know, it's like, it's not doable. So yeah, very, you know, heart goes out to this guy, but, you know, store your keys, know what you're holding, you know, be very careful, and, you know, don't be flippant if you believe that, you know, this is going to be your generational wealth, which it will be.
Yeah, I think the other takeaway too I would add to this is, you know, he was presumably holding Bitcoin at that much very, very early, and probably didn't have an appreciation for what he had. I think for most people coming in the last few years who have strong conviction in Bitcoin, they understand what they're holding. My hope would be they're not storing it on a hard drive. They have a, you know, secure, air-gapped, Bitcoin-only open source wallet, and they're going through the proper steps. So anyone listening, if you don't know how to do that, check out the Bitcoin Way. Ben, what do you think about this?
Yeah, just going off of what you said there, one of the main lessons Bitcoin teaches you right out of the gate every time is that you got to be humble and forgive your past self for the mistakes that they made, because we've all heard about Bitcoin when it was cheaper and we could have gotten away more of it. And so many people get stuck at that first obstacle of thinking, I didn't get it earlier, so I'm just going to give up and just not get any. So that's one of the lessons a lot of people have to learn. This guy had a really hard one to learn, because he got over the obstacle of not getting it. He got some, and then later he messed up. So everyone has a different sequence of events they have to forgive their past selves for. And the other thing to mention is, going off what Tony said, is that Bitcoin is responsibility go up technology. It teaches you to be responsible. And this guy had a particularly brutal one that other people should learn from, but everyone's going to have some lesson in how to take care of your funds better. And this is a feature, not a bug. And I know some naysayers will always say, oh, there's no support line. What if I lose my passphrase like I do with my bank account? I can get it back. But I think that there's so many examples in the world where people are just taught and encouraged to be stupid and outsource their brains to someone else, and Bitcoin puts it all on you. So it increases your responsibility. I'd say that's overall a very good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that responsibility, go up technology. Take responsibility for your keys. That's what people had to do on a gold standard long, long time ago before they started printing paper. All righty, guys. Up next, some more sad news. Estimated percentage of 30-year-olds who are both married and homeowners. And if you look at 1950, it was over 50% of 30-year-olds. And here in 2025, we are down to, looks like maybe 12, 13%. Precipitous drop, huge decline. And obviously, I think we all have our thesis for why that would be. Ben, why don't you share your thought? And to be clear, there are also 30-year-olds, many of them Bitcoiners, who are opting to, and Tony, avoiding homeownership at all costs by intent. But I think there are a lot of people who have aspirations to own a home and be married, and they simply can't do it or haven't been able to this point. Ben, what do you think is going on?
I can't be too specific about the responsible parties involved or else my computer might explode, but we can definitely say that the fiat money is a big part of it. And anyone that's been to the WTF happened in 1971 website can see there's all kinds of these crazy trends that go back to the money printer firing up. And this is what we can all agree on without getting in too much trouble, is that this is a problem that needs to be solved. Central banking is causing all sorts of these issues, especially in our personal lives. And this is what so many normies don't understand, is that they think, oh, I'm not interested in Bitcoin because I'm not into economics or finance or all that technical stuff, but then they can't afford to eat or something. So everyone needs to care about the stuff, whether they enjoy looking at the numbers of it or not. And that's why we need to get more and more people just finding some path into Bitcoin to understand that this affects everybody deeply, and that graph shows it. And just need to keep spreading the message and getting more people on board so they understand the real problem, so then they can find a real solution, which is sad money.
Yeah, there are way too many people, I think, just hoping beyond hope that their financial advisor is going to pull a rabbit out of a hat and make, you know, their life better or something. And the reality is all it takes is a little bit of digging to find out that they're by and large on the wrong track. Tony, what's your comment here?
Man, it's unbelievable how many cracks start, you know, busting out, you know, once the system is at its very end. Like, you start seeing these horror stories, you know, all over the place. The rabbit hole for why people are not getting married and, you know, why they can't afford anything, you know, they're two separate rabbit holes. I mean, on the one end, a lot of guys are avoiding marriage completely because, depending where you live, the system, you know, the country, the government screws you 100%. Times more than your partner ever will, right? And in a very bad way. And so they're just avoiding that completely. And so why would you, you know, bring that nightmare into your life where, you know, you can be set up in many situations, and, you know, if things go bad, well, now you're financially, you know, eradicated by your supposedly love of your life till the end of days, till death do us part. But, you know, you realize that, you know, that was all, you know, part of the circus. So there's that aspect of things. The other thing is that, well, you know, the money's worth toilet paper. You know, you work a job two, three, four, you can't afford anything. So like a house, which is supposed to be like one of the most basic things, you know, any human being should own. Now it's like, you know, it's a pipe dream. It's like a hallucination. I mean, if you want to get a house, there's a minimum 30, 40-year like mortgage chain that you have to, you know, agree to. Who would want to do this? It just feels like you have to climb this enormous mountain where, you know, maybe like 40 years ago, you know, one paycheck was enough to buy a home. This is, you know, back then, people had large families because, again, you know, the money was fine. It covered everything. But today, it seems like no matter how much you try, you get nowhere. So some people are just not bothering because, you know, why should they? So, you know, it's just a never-ending mess of that fiat Ponzi, which is, you know, at its expiry date. And a lot of people are realizing this now. Now, why, you can argue, why aren't all of these folks into Bitcoin? Well, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, the lack of motivation for aspiring to be better is at ground level. And I understand why, because, again, you know, like no matter how hard you try, you are just like that hamster. You're still in the same place. So I'm not surprised these numbers aren't higher. I expect them to get higher as things, you know, get progressively worse. But, you know, it's very sad to read all the same.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is when you go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, you begin to recognize these two variables as interconnected. You see like a cultural deterioration, you see homeownership becoming unaffordable, and it's all intertwined. It's all tied back to broken money. I just want to comment too that Ben is an eligible bachelor. So ladies, if you are looking, the problem is he is not accepting applications from OnlyFans girls. So you got to be a good woman. You got to be ready for some deep, dark rabbit holes if you're going to hang out with Ben. So,
and alrighty, don't speak for him, you know? maybe he has an asterisk on that.
I'm a man of mystery. You'll never know.
Most OnlyFans girls. Okay, up next and related. Here at Zero Hedge, think Uncle Sam owes $37 trillion. It's far worse than that. And this is something that I think many people know, but the actual grand total of Uncle Sam's obligations, we have unfunded liabilities amounting to $151 trillion. So when Lynn Alden says nothing stops this train, she's probably onto something. I don't think there's any amount of taxation, austerity measure, short of just a productivity miracle that extends even beyond what I think AI can do for us, we got to print money. Tony, would you concur? And what warning would you provide to people who are going to be impacted by this ultimately?
Man, if I didn't know any better or discovered Bitcoin or at least had any notion of hard assets, I would be petrified out of my mind right now, considering how bad the situation is. Because, you know, the $37 trillion, you know, already that's like an impossibility to fix. Now, these numbers are not the whole picture. You know, that just like exponentially amplifies this disaster, which in fact shortens the timeline for the complete collapse. What that looks like, God knows, man. I mean, that can translate into civil riots, violence. It can translate into, quicker approach to UBIs. Like, who knows what this is going to turn into? But the point is that a lot of people are going to get decimated by it. And this is, you know, it's not a pretty picture. And I don't wish that upon anyone, which is why, you know, here at the Bitcoin Way, we keep, you know, pushing that urgency to act, to do something, to just, you know, snap out of that, you know, nonsense world of everything's going to be okay. It's far, far, far from being okay anytime soon. We are walking into a dystopian nightmare. And no one is coming to save you. So if you don't have the measures in place to protect yourself and your family, especially if you have kids, you're just setting yourself up for suicide. So this is not fear-mongering. These are facts. Just read the news, look around you, check out what's happening around the globe, why people are moving, you know, why Plan B residencies are at an all-time high, why, you know, Bitcoin adoption for those paying attention is at an all-time high. Bitcoin in self-custody, not that garbage ETFs or Bitcoin treasuries. I'm talking about the real deal now. So, things get progressively worse. People start paying more attention, but there's still far, far too many people that have no clue what's going on. And these people, man, like, I have no words for them because you just know they're headed off a cliff and there's just no way to reach them for some reason.
Ben, you have anything to add to that?
It's tough, dude. That's pretty much summed it up perfectly. I guess I would just say that, like you're ending with there, there's going to be huge culling of people who are just walking like zombies right now, listening to the TV and in the echo chambers that are curated for them to not understand what's really happening. And it's everyone's job out there to focus on yourself and your loved ones, the people you care about, to make sure they're not getting stuck in those mind prisons and find the way to freedom. Because we're in such a weird time right now where, as we're looking at these numbers and the situation getting so bad, there are also so many people who are going through this huge awakening process, and there's just a massive divergence going on. And those who are on the good side of it are going to come out probably better than before, no matter how crazy this situation and the explosion is. So you just got to get as many people as you can over to the good side to make sure that they come out stronger from this.
Yeah, and presumably, if you're listening to this as a Bitcoiner, you're trying to orange pill your friends and family. I mean, part of my encouragement is, on the people you truly love, don't give up, but try to find new ways and resources to, you know, patiently bring them in, because beating them over the head and talking about number go up and how you're outperforming their, you know, investments, it's not going to do the trick. They're just going to dig their heels in more. So
I can add on that, because I am the perfect example of someone who has the most blue-pilled normie family and old friend circle you can imagine. I grew up in a Northwest Seattle where everyone is pretty much super blue and just not really understanding what's going on. I had to just vent this pent-up energy inside of me, wanting to awaken all these people just by creating content. Like, you can't keep trying to go after these people that are building brick walls, like the one behind Tony there. It's not going to work. It's not a good use of your energy. Focus that energy on creating things. I've started a podcast for this exact reason. I just wanted to make something that I could build, knowing that that will make it much easier later when these people finally come around. You can just angle them toward this library you've already created of content that will help make their ride easier. And it's much more fulfilling that way, a lot less frustrating, because you know that you're going to find new people that find your content and really appreciate it. So that's my word of encouragement there for anyone out there that just feels frustrated, that there's much better ways to put your energy than to continue trying to bang through heads that are just not open.
Well said. Well said. All righty, guys. Up next, we've got some not funny. I don't know what this news is. The Satoshi statue in Lugano appears to have been stolen. It was recovered in a lake. And let's take a quick vote. So if I gave you the options of Brad Garlinghouse, Christine Lagarde, or Peter Schiff, who do you think it is?
None of them, man.
I think Satoshi just wanted to go for a swim, dude. Just needed a quick bath.
It's a bee catcher. What do you think, Tony?
Man, it takes a special kind of loser to pull something like this. Like, can you imagine how pathetic of an individual you have to be to go out and break something like this? Who knows what's going through the mind of these people? Maybe it's one person, maybe it's a gang, but it's Lugano. Usually, you know, it's an upscale area. So, I mean, I don't know if there are gangs over there. If they are, you know, they're pretty pathetic. But what do you want me to tell you, man? No matter how
Jamie,
good you think... No matter how good you think an area is, there's always some clown, you know, lingering around in it. So, sad story.
It's, I just can't imagine wasting my time on this. You know, like the XRP army or the bee cashers, they could erect a statue to their, you know, whoever their guru is, and it would never cross my mind to go deface property. Like, it just, who cares, you know, just ignore it if you don't like it. Ben, did you have another comment on that?
I'm just going to call it, if Jamie pull up the immigration stats for Switzerland. I didn't say that.
Up next, moving right along, we've got China has officially banned Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, trading, mining, and related services. The reader's context, they said, well, they banned it in 2021. My understanding is they have banned it again, and they just sort of change how much they ban and to what extent. But they've done it, like, I don't know, what would we think, like 15 or 20 times? Tony, this is maybe my favorite topic to talk about with you, because you talked about this at BTC Prague, that it's the unstoppable force.
You can't stop Bitcoin. You can't stop Bitcoin. This is all theatrics. I don't even know why they bother. They look like fools, you know, and especially when a government does it, it doesn't add to their credibility or power. It just, you know, puts them, you know, at the top of the comedy list. They can ban it a million times. They're not going to stop it. In fact, China has one of the highest percentages of people actually using Bitcoin. They're just doing it, you know, underground. And the more they come up with this nonsense, the more they're going to push it underground, and they're going to incentivize tools to keep it more private, more secure, more hidden out of, you know, the eyes of, you know, those who want to control everything. Peer-to-peer technology. I've said it like a million times and I'll say it again. You cannot stop it. You know, it's like as retarded as saying you're going to stop the wind from blowing or the sun from shining. It's just not going to happen, whether you like it or not. Whether you pull every little last string of hair out of your head, it's still going to exist and people are still going to adopt it more. If anything, just to spite you. So Bitcoin is freedom money. So there's no stopping this train.
So Tony, I know that Ben broadly agrees with you, but he also disagrees that you can't stop the sun from shining, because he talks a lot about the geoengineering and Bill Gates blotting out the sun. But Ben, here, I'm going to make a comment and I want to hear your thoughts. The interesting thing for me is that China must, the government must understand that they cannot stop Bitcoin. I mean, they can maybe make it difficult for their, you know, their citizens to use it or what have you, but they obviously can't stop it. To me, to try to so overtly prevent people from using something that can't be stopped looks like a sign of weakness because it's going to invariably fail. Why wouldn't they just take like a more covert, you know, kind of make it difficult, discourage, put up some propaganda, scare people out of using it or something versus these outright bans? Like what do they have to gain from this?
It's ego.
Well, you'd think they would get smarter and learn that you're not going to stop Bitcoin. But if that were the case, they wouldn't have tried it like 20 times or whatever it is. I tried to figure out the total amount of times on AI, but it can't even figure it out. It's like, oh, it's complicated because there's like different types of bans. It's like around 20 times
they try to ban. I can't count that high.
And and the Streisand effect is just going to keep going. And I think it's definitely putting them at the comedy list, as Tony put very well. It's they can keep trying, but it's not going to work. It's like that meme of the video game controller with one button on it with a little X on the corner. Governments just have like the, if they don't like something, it's ban, 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 ban. Like all they can try to do is just stop people. We're going to talk about how the UK is doing something similar right now as well, with just like trying to eliminate people from being able to even view content on the internet. It's just, they only have one move and people are waking up to it.
Yeah, I think we need a meme with a two button controller, print and ban, and those are the only two things that they tend to do. All righty, guys. Last up, the censorship rages on. So cybernews.com has this article, not just in the UK, age verification will soon be the new normal everywhere. So they have this Online Safety Act in the UK, basically thousands of websites hosting adult content, including platforms like TikTok, Reddit, and X, have much stricter controls. You've got to verify that you're 18 before you can access a lot of this stuff. I mean, they go on to talk about like VPNs and how people are trying to skirt around it with VPNs, and it's working now, but they're going to come up with ways to make that more difficult. Tony, this is to me a tale as old as time. I mean, censorship from centralized authorities. Any sort of advice or commentary as people think about, you know, civil resistance, civil disobedience to this sort of law?
Yeah, of course. This is the end of the UK. I mean, you know, when things get this absurd, you know that it's just imminent, the entire collapse. Trying to control the narrative by shutting down the internet is not going to work. I mean, first of all, you saw the immediate reaction. There's a lot of people that are finally, you know, waking up and pushing back to this. And it's not a handful of folks. I mean, in the coming weeks, there's expected to be like mass riots and peaceful protests, you know, like pushing back against this whole thing, because essentially what you have in the UK is not a government. You've got a bunch of criminals on the loose that are trying to hold on desperately to something that they're losing. Their power, their grip, their influence. Nobody's listening to them anymore. And, you know, by hook or by crook, they want to remain relevant. The VPN use, you have to be very careful, because there's, you know, the countries that we don't want to name that own thousands of VPNs, and, you know, people buy them thinking they're safe, but in fact, they're like the surveillance tools that spy on you. So before selecting a VPN, just make sure you vet it properly. You only want to work, you know, with proper open source VPNs that have zero logs, you know, that are, you know, carefully audited on that level. And there's plenty of them. The more aggressive these attempts to shut down, you know, people's voices, the more aggressive the pushback is going to be. Again, you know, it goes back to the whole premise of peer-to-peer. You know, when they tried to shut down Napster thinking they killed music piracy, they just exploded the industry. And now they can't do anything about it, no matter how hard they try. So this is the same thing, except now you're screwing around with people's voices and, you know, livelihoods. So the pushback is not going to be minimal. You're going to see like massive, massive reaction. And all these attempts are going to escalate in the short term. You're going to head towards a dystopian nightmare. But at some point, it's all going to fall apart. You know, it's like, think of it as like the Berlin Wall. Like at some point, they're going to come crashing it down and it's going to be game over and it's never going to go back up again. So, but in the meantime, you know, I feel really bad for anyone having to deal with this. What pisses me off is how many people are complying with this rubbish. you don't understand that the power against all this tyranny, not just in the UK, globally, is in our hands. There's more people than there are those lunatics making these ridiculous, you know, rules and regulations. If everybody simply ignored them, problems would never happen. What you have, you know, a bunch of sheep that just, you know, follow whatever they're told blind because they're scared, they don't know any better, they don't want to like rock the boat. Well, they end up being the real cause of the problem for everybody else, because now you're going against a tide of idiots that, you know, are just, you know, suicidal, basically. And so, thankfully, there's a growing number of individuals, you know, that are not going to put up with this. And we don't need 100%. We just need enough people to say no. And then the rest of the sheep will, you know, switch sides instantly because now they feel powerful, right? Because there's enough people on their side going, you know, doing what they want, but they were too weak or too chicken shit to do it themselves. So they just waited. And as long as we have that, we win. And I think at the end of the day, good will always prevail over evil, as long as enough, you know, good men, enough, you know, lions stand their ground and push back. So my heart goes out to the UK. This is happening in Australia as well. So if you're in Australia, brace yourself. This is coming your way very, very soon, if it's not there already. So if there's no resistance from the people, you're cooked.
Ben, is this something you've discussed on your podcast at all, either the Online Safety Act or just some of the infringements on free speech more broadly?
Not specifically that act. I definitely want to do more of this. It's actually funny you mentioned that because I've been starting to reach out to more people who are really talking about these issues because I want to dive into it. I've been talking about a law in Noster to anyone who follows me there. That's my place where I just rant, completely unload all the thoughts because you can't be banned there. And some of the things happening are considered even outside of the UK, just very looked down upon and mean for talking about, but reality is crazy. And if I may share my screen real quick, my condolences to the editor. If this is too much for YouTube, you got to take this out, but I'm going to share a couple quick things of you while we're talking about UK. Michael's already laughing. They are literally shipping in thousands of immigrants every day, roughly 3,000 per day right now to the UK. Last year alone, estimated 950,000 random African migrants just shipped in. You got this bus right here. They're literally giving them folders full of money paid for by the taxpayers in the UK. And anyone who still has any logical brain cells left knows what's going to happen from this. And we're seeing it happen all over the place. And the people who are there are figuring this out. They're waking up from the media that's telling them, oh, this is going to culturally enrich our country as the crime rates skyrocket. Well, people aren't put up with that anymore. They're turning off the TV and talking box and they're watching Nick Fuentes streams instead. So they're going to have to press that ban button like we talked about earlier. That's the only way out. So it's just crazy to watch. And the awakening can't be stopped. They could try. They're going to fail.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. And just keep in mind, the intent of this article was to demonstrate that it's not just the UK, that this is going to be the new normal everywhere. So begin to prepare yourself to think about the type of person you are, the type of person you want to be, and the way that you're going to resist tyranny. So I would never encourage outright illegal activity, but we have a duty to stand up against tyranny, I believe. And there are plenty of great tools that we can use at our disposal. So keep that in mind. Ben, thank you as always for coming on, man. Why don't you tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, I got channels everywhere, wherever you're listening. Got a YouTube channel, got a podcast, the Ben Werman podcast, Twitter, Noster, all the good stuff. Come find me. And yeah, like I said, for the most unhinged ranting available, Noster is a place to go.
Love it. And for everyone listening today, thank you so much for tuning in. Stick around for another minute to hear a bit about the Bitcoin way. Really appreciate it. Gents, as always, it's been a blast. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.